6:43 on a Tony Conley Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. The Tony Conley Morning Show Sports Update is brought to you by Eagle Eye Hawk Owl, the Falcon, the Woodside, and the Little Hawk Putting Course. The Detroit Tigers are in the Windy City for a three-game series with the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field that starts tonight. The Lansing Lugnuts beat the Lake County Captains 7-1 last night at the Cooley Law School Stadium. The Lugnuts start a three-game series in Fort Wayne tonight. The Los Angeles Kings beat the New Jersey Devils 6-1 last night in Los Angeles to win the National Hockey League Championship and the Stanley Cup for the first time in their 45-year history. And Rafael Nadal beat Novak Djokovic to win the French Open title yesterday in Paris, France. That's the sports brought to you by Eagle Eye Hawk Hollow, the Falcon, the Woodside, and the Little Hawk Putting Course on a Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. It's 6:44. It's currently 67 degrees. We're expecting highs to reach near 80 today. And thank you for listening to 1320WILS and 1320WILS.com. Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with Dr. Kurt Maxey, who is the president of the Ann Arbor-based Kamen Chemical. And he's on the other end of our line. Dr. Maxey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell us what you do at Kamen Chemical.
Well, essentially, we're a small drug company helping the larger drug companies with their basic research on drugs. But we've been in the news recently because some of that capability has been used to help identify the newer spice and K2 type herbal marijuana drugs. So we're a bunch of scientists.
Tell us about the work you do and what you've learned about the drugs that are put in K2.
Well, what we've learned is there are hundreds of them. What's most astonishing is I guess kids are willing to take a substance into their body that they have no clue what it is, and in fact even law enforcement is unaware what is in some of these newer blends, and our work has been to try to figure out what they are, just what is this substance, and the results are fairly disturbing because some of them are quite dangerous, some of them have biological properties that really have never even been studied.
Tell us about some of the drugs that you've found.
Well, they were drugs that were originally made during the 1990s as pharmaceutical firms tried to make medicines based on THC and the active components of marijuana. Some of them have been around a long time. Some of the early series, the JW series and the AM series, were well known in the scientific literature for 10 or 15 years. I think one lesson from this is that they could have been put on banned substances lists by the DEA at any time during that interval, but they weren't. And it wasn't until people started having untoward drug reactions to them and they began being abused that the federal agencies got around to regulating them. And so for these little time periods, you can have a substance that's trafficking out in the street, but it's not technically illegal. That's one of the difficulties, is that as soon as the DEA declares a substance to be a drug, designer chemists move a couple atoms around and then evade that ban. And that is why this is multiplied into hundreds of substances now.
So this is a high-tech business where you have to have almost intellectual people who know what they're doing.
Well, what we had already in place were people well-equipped to try to design therapeutic drugs, drugs for things like pain or nausea or weight loss, obesity, but that's the same skill set that it takes to go in into a forensic sample and figure out what is the atomic structure of what's in the sample, especially since some of the structures are the same, especially since some of these were early drug candidates. But, yeah, we have a lot of people with a lot of PhDs, a lot of people that you would call geeks, but it's quite rewarding, I think, to be on this side of the, this side of the law, I guess.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you studied for dozens of years, and you're sort of working in obscurity. And then when this spice epidemic came, our skills were just what the police were requesting, and they've been very helpful both ways as we've been working through these different samples that come in off the street.
The chemists that have put these together, many are from China.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't blame the entire epidemic on China. The bulk substances tend to be made in some overseas locations, and China's prominent. But I want to remind people that there's always a U.S. entrepreneur spraying this on alfalfa leaves and packing it up in pretty foil packs that look like bubble gum. So there's a very determined U.S. component to this that packages it. But it does look as though when a new compound is made to evade the DEA, that chemistry probably is done overseas.
I saw a quote online where you said this is a never-ending treadmill. It's like the cat chasing the mouse.
I'd say that's sort of like, yeah, I would say that's accurate, because as soon as a new compound crops up, and it's identified, and then it's scheduled, which means the DEA, the Federal Drug Enforcement Regulation Administration, declares it illegal, then overseas or wherever these clandestine labs are, they just react by moving an atom here and moving an atom there, and then they have now made a new substance. What's kind of unconscionable is that they're willing to just subject drug users to that new substance without any idea what it does. And there have been serious health adverse effects from this. There have been cases of, plenty of people dying, people going into renal failure, people having psychotic breaks, and marijuana doesn't have any of those effects. So although people traffic this as synthetic marijuana, a lot of the adverse effects don't have any marijuana-like aspect to them.
And before we let you go, Dr. Max, I just wanted to get your take. Obviously, Michigan law enforcement is heavily involved, as are many states, in trying to ban this drug. There are several communities around the Detroit area, including Macomb County, that have already banned it. As you've done this work and seen the results come in, what do you think?
Well, I think the bans are all a little late, because the drug network that developed this did so in the last two or three years. Had they been banned a long time ago, the law enforcement would have been much better able to stop it. I think it's helpful to just be quicker. I mean, I think the take-home lesson for me is be more responsive. When Michigan State Police give us a sample and when we identify a new compound in that sample, that new compound should become scheduled, should become illegal quickly and not with a lag time of two or three years. But at least that network is together. We have very good cooperation with a lot of state police agencies, not just Michigan, but Florida and Arkansas. And I do think that we'll be able to get ahead of this epidemic now, and I think a lot of this public awareness is what helps do that.
Dr. Kurt Maxey is the president of the Ann Arbor-based Kamen Chemical. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
It's 6:52 on a Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. It's 67 degrees. When we come back, two stories we're going to talk about. One is new legislation that will help fathers be reunited with their biological children, and also abortion legislation. There are going to be protests at the state capitol. We'll talk about that story next on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS.